Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. Yvette, we are so excited to have you. Thanks for joining us.
So excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear about your journey and where you've been and where you're at now. And so where are you at now? Are you freezing? Are you warm or...
We just got, 6 or 8 inches of snow. I'm in Minnesota.
Oh, funny. I just spoke to a patient in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay. So, I'm just like 20 minutes north of there.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. Because she said exactly the same thing. 6 inches.
Yeah. They said 2 to 4. I'm like, this is way more. I'm shoveling snow. And I'm like, this is way more than 2 to 4 inches. Like, yeah, this is a lot more. Yeah.
We chatted pretty a little before this show, and she loves the snow. December 24th to January 1st.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it.
Exactly. Yeah. Very specific time. And yeah.
Small window. Uh-huh. Yeah. See, it's a lot bigger window than that, though, in Minnesota.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. See, I'm from Sweden, and I don't even want to move to Minnesota. It's too cold. Too much snow.
Right?
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. It's all good, though. It's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a gorgeous spot. So tell me a little bit, where did it all start? I mean, where did your journey start?
That is such a great question. It is believed that I was 14 years old when I actually got infected by a tick. I had a tick on my head. My mom worked for ENT doctors, and I ended up with a fever. And, you know, way back then, 42 years ago was then. And so no one knew of Lyme. No one was talking of Lyme. And I had this fever and they couldn't figure it out. And I did have this tick buried into the top of my head. But I was fine for many, many, many years, completely and totally fine. And then in 2012, I got really sick. Really, really sick. Like, couldn't walk. I didn't have balance. I couldn't see. I do webcasts for a living. I was happy that I knew exactly what to say because I couldn't really see. And I did have to, you know, hold onto the walls to not fall. And I was exhausted. I was sleeping 20 hours a day. I'd get my kids off to school and I would just be looking at the clock on the wall, and it'd be like 7 o'clock, and by 7:20 they'd be out of the house. And I would literally just looking at the clock, like, get to 7:20, get to 7:20, get to 7:20, because I just needed to get back in bed. And I couldn't eat, and I was freezing. It was in the summer, then 90 degrees outside. It gets very hot in Minnesota. We have very extreme weather. And I would be in sweatshirts and freezing, and then I'd be in the cold, and then I'd be 500 degrees, and like, just nothing made sense. And, you know, maybe it's your thyroid, and and I went to all these MDs over 2 years' time, and everyone was like, look, your labs are perfect. Like, all your work is perfect. Like, how's your family life? And I'm like, okay, so it's really good. And I'm like, I have an amazing husband. I have incredible children. I have an amazing business. And they're like, you know, some people who are depressed just don't even know it. And I'm like, I'll show you depressed. Get closer to me.
Exactly. You'll be very depressed when I break your arm.
You're going to be depressed. Yeah. So my body just hurt. I just knew like something was amiss. And then I finally I actually, one of my best friends or my bestie said, you know, Yvette, this Dr. Foley in Venice Heights, and he's a Lyme letter MD. And it really, I've been doing a lot of reading and I feel like you have Lyme disease. And I'm like, what? And so I went there and we did the proper test. Lyme disease and, you know, co-infections, and I was a mess. And
which test was this? Was it the Igenix test or
Igenix test?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he even said to me too, he said, from everything that you're telling me, of course we need to wait till the labs come back, but you're screaming Lyme disease. Like everything that you got going on. And my list was like a lot longer than what I listed. Like it was bad. And I really thought I was losing it. And I really thought I was dying.
Yeah.
I really thought I was dying. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, really, what I think a lot of people with Lyme disease, probably and or all sicknesses, just tell me what it is so I can deal with it. Like, the not knowing is, like, horrific. And so I was almost relieved, not relieved, but relieved when I got the information. Because I'm like, okay, now what do I do? And I remember this so clearly, and he was dead serious. And he goes, okay, so here's the deal. You are going to go gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, sugar-free. You are going to be outside every day for 20 minutes. I don't care how cold it gets. You are going to write in a gratitude journal every single day. And what was the other thing? And I was like, and he goes, and if you don't, we don't need to see each other again.
I like him already.
He was so, and I was like, I go, I'll do whatever you say. And I was like, if you tell me to like bathe in pig's pee, I will do it.
Just want to get through this.
We're so desperate. We'll do anything.
desperate. And so it was a ton of nutrition. It was, you know, I used essential oils. I following all of his protocol. Of course, the special, you know, eating routine and focusing on healing. And, you know, he moved into kind of even more things like PEMF and a lot of things, right? And so, anyway, after doing that, and $90,000 later, I was well, and in looking back and going through it, and I've talked to literally hundreds of people with Lyme because people are like, oh, Yvette's better. Like, talk to Yvette. So everyone's like, right? And they're hitting me up. I actually put out a website called LymeTitsAsOff.com because I was like, this is what I did here. Yeah. Like, I live 24 hours a day. Like, I can't go over all of this with everybody. And so that's what I did. And what I realized in talking to all these people is always without exception. And I would love to ask you guys the same question. Always without exception, there is an emotional break. Something physically or emotionally happened that was kind of a big deal. A trauma, some type of trauma in their life, emotional trauma, physical trauma, that kicked it off. Like literally every time they're like, I got divorced, my child died, I was in a car accident, my best friend and I broke up, my whatever, like all the things. And then I started to do a lot of research on emotional upset and sickness. And they're hand in hand. And I don't care if you're talking about Lyme or MS or lupus or cancer or whatever it is, I think there's this a huge emotional component. And where I had to get, and it was a really big deal for me to be able to say is, mine was that I had a friend of mine. It was a friendship, breakup. And this has nothing to do with her, by the way. This is how my interpretation of it, right? I'm 100% responsible for all my relationships, as she is. But it was so upsetting to me. And I couldn't say, it took me 2 years to say it without crying. Like, not everyone's going to love you and it's okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is crazy, but that was it for me. And it was the break. And so my question is that what you guys have found? And then secondly, are you, you know, for people who are going through this, for me, forgiveness was such a huge piece. My forgiveness in forgiving her for what happened, but forgiving me because I had to then forgive myself for not handling it well, because that was like how I saw it, right? I didn't handle it well. I didn't know. And then I got sick. And I actually think probably a ton of people carry Lyme disease, carry whatevs in the body. I mean, I'm in Minnesota. There are ticks everywhere, mosquitoes everywhere. Like everybody's been bit, everybody. Do they all carry it? No. Do a ton? Yeah. So I kind of feel like a crap ton of people are carrying it, but just don't, it just never develops or becomes anything because they didn't have that break or whatever. Well, for whatever reason, their body's in a position to manage it.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I think everybody has it. They're just not sick from it.
No. And I'm curious to hear your, because you're in part of so many different Lyme groups and you're head of your own. What in regards to the trauma, emotional break, I mean, what have you seen and what have you heard in regards to that with all the people that you talk to?
You know, I have seen probably, I want to say maybe only about 60% of the people believe that it was some type of emotional or physical trauma that brought the Lyme out. I believe it's 95% of the time what happens. I mean, and that's from even from, you know, my experience when I thought I was in remission, looking back, I was probably only about 90%. And then I had the trauma of losing my home in a fire, driving through the flames. And next thing you know, I woke up and I was sick again. So just that trauma triggered my Lyme. And so it's a hard lesson to learn, but it's very important for me to live a stress-free life. And if that means cutting out people in my life that are toxic, it's okay. I went through a lot. I don't want to go back there. So, yeah. So to answer your question, I'm surprised that not as many believe that.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I think you can't, I mean, kind of like what you alluded to, I don't think that you can have a chronic disease, you know, like MS, some kind of autoimmune, Hashimoto's, cancer, Lyme disease, even Epstein-Barr and, you know, swollen lymph nodes and all of these. I don't think you can have that without some kind of an emotional, strong emotional factor that's holding that disease in. Whether everyone, I wouldn't say that everyone acknowledges that comes into my center.
Yeah.
But from what I see, when people need to do a full healing, they need to address that. They need to address the underlying traumas. They need to, in regards to forgiveness, is a key factor. And like you mentioned, it's not only forgiving other people, but it's forgiving yourself. And that is a journey, because it's hard sometimes that we're holding them so deep. That it's hard sometimes to unveil and understand that, yes, I've been holding this, I mean, this guilt myself, you know, because, you know, I did something and that made my mom go after my dad. And then after that, 2 years later, they got a divorce. So I think it's all my fault. And these may be just kind of repressed things that you may not think about because it was so many years ago in your mind, but it's still there. The program is still playing like an app that's up on your phone, you know? So.
Yeah. That subconscious tape, right?
Yeah.
So, Tanya, you said 60% and that's probably, 60% are saying that, but like the doc said, I agree. They just don't even, number one, they may not even want to acknowledge it because also it does create this responsibility on ourselves. And I don't, clearly I don't want to be responsible for the fact that I was so sick for a couple of years. Like, I don't want to own that. Like, that's no bueno. So I didn't want to do that. And then secondly, like you said, it is so deep down buried because it is so insanely painful that you cannot even begin to think about broaching that subject, that you're like, no, there was nothing.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that, you know, and a lot of people that are sick, our minds just simply don't work right. They just don't. So whether a portion of those people can't remember that something big happened in their life, or that it's so far suppressed that they don't want to acknowledge, I don't know. Maybe I've always taken blame for everything in my life because I knew right away that I was a workaholic and I ran my body into the ground. Like, I take full ownership and I always have. I think maybe a lot of people don't recognize it. And, you know, I read a book a few years ago. I think it's by somebody named Dr. Bradley. It's called The Emotion Code. And it's such a fabulous book. I've recommended it to so many people, and it really dives deep into the deep emotions of, you know, what you've gone through, even if it was from childhood. And, you know, I think all that stuff needs to come out eventually to be able to move forward. And I was real hesitant to say the word closure because I was at church this last Sunday and my pastor was talking about gratitude and how you don't have to have closure on everything. And I've never looked at it that way. I've always said to myself and to anybody I know, I'm like, you need to talk about it. You need to analyze it. You need to do whatever you need to do to get closure on it. And my mindset has kind of changed a little bit after that sermon.
Because you can't force somebody to... I mean, that there still may be that other individual may still not forgive you or may still, you know, live in that space. So in that way, you can have closure, but you need to still kind of be open to that forgiveness and letting whatever that was go and not hold on to it.
Yes.
But then recognize that, you know, I'm clear where I'm at. I'm loving this individual for who they are, but I can't live their life. They have to make those choices themselves. So, yeah, another great book is Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. You know, that's an older book.
Ooh.
Yeah, that one.
I like the title.
Yeah. So that is a great book. I think that one was like in the 80s or 90s. You know, it was kind of right at that time when people start to recognize, you know, these factors. So, yeah.
So there were so many like little one-liners, like hurting people hurt people, right? Healed people can help people. And when I realized that, you know, the hurting people hurt people, and people, one of my favorite things is people can only do they can only do with what they have in their toolbox. And they just might not have the tools. And so when we can see it from that space, then you can be like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, just doesn't have the tools.
Right.
They just don't have the tools. And kind of, like you said, you can protect yourself. You don't need to stay in any type of toxic anything, but you can truly release them and not hold on to that forgiveness. It's kind of like, it's like drinking poison and hoping it's going to hurt the other person. It just hurts you. Or, you know, holding on to hot coal, you're just burning your own hand. It's like, it's doing nothing to them. Because some people kind of, they still want to like deliver pain back, or, you know, no, I'm not going to forgive them because they were so wrong, or they were so mean, or they were so bad, or whatever. But at the end of the day, everything that you're thinking and tormenting and you're thinking about, and literally tormenting yourself, it's literally only hurting yourself. And it comes down to, you know, the power of the tongue, like what we speak about comes about. And so I literally, as I was walking down the stairs, and after I saw Dr. Foley, and I was kind of holding onto the walls, and And all I kept saying, every step I took, I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for healing. I know my body is healing. My body is healing. I'm created to heal. Even though I don't feel like it, I know I'm healing. I know I'm healing. And that's all I ever thought about. I know I'm healing. I know I'm healing. And I knew it. And I believe we are created to heal. I mean, our bodies are miraculous. And so that's my favorite part about what I do now. Like I help people detoxify at home and, you know, take proper supplements. And I teach them how to also heal emotionally. And have you guys heard of QNRT? Quantum Neuro Reset Training?
I haven't. I mean, I know there are a lot of different therapies. I mean, like we do APN at our center. I know like EMDRs and I mean, there's
EMDR is part of it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of great, but I'm not familiar exactly with what it is. I may know.
Yeah, so I just, at Sequoia Health is a place over here in Minnesota, in Woodbury. And I also, you know, I see this amazing chiropractor and he does a totally different chiropractic technique. And his name is Dr. Reinhart, Dr. Samuel Reinhart, and he's in Crystal. But so, and Sequoia is brain training and quantum neural reset training, QNRT. And so what it is as we have traumas, which we all have traumas, which we were talking about, is it helps our brain. So when we have traumas, our brain kind of realigns, right? We're here for survival and we're protecting and we don't want to deal with the pain. And so we kind of will start to think differently to not have to do it. But really, that's never very beneficial. Like you got to go through it to grow through it, right? And so what QNRT does is it helps you like release those in the brain, have healthy neural pathways again. So it's another very cool modality. And people can, you know, again, people don't see different things. Like when I was 5, here's an interesting thing. I was 5. I dropped a bowl, a mixing bowl. It broke. I have 3 sisters. I have a twin and 2 other sisters. And they were like, oh my gosh. And by the way, they're like amazing sisters. But oh my gosh, mom's going to be so sad and she's going to cry. And that was so expensive. That was like $100. Okay. First of all, it was probably like 10. And second of all, whatevs. But I was so like, it was very, I was like, oh my gosh, I am bad. Like my mom's going to be so sad. And by the way, my mom was like, you know, immediately arm around me, like, honey, it's just a bowl and it's no big deal. And like 100% minute, like it's so not a thing. But the messaging that I got was like, I've always been the person to make things okay and make sure nobody's mad and, you know, be the person to like settle everything down and help everybody stay happy. And I think I took that on at 5, which is not a super healthy thing to do.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
It's in a lot for an adult, let alone a 5-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. But that's what I picked up at 5. And, you know, as we were going through this QNRT thing, I was like, that's what I brought up. And I remember I got tears. Like, how is that still a thing? I'm 56 years old. Like, what? It was a stupid bowl. But that's the thing. And so subconsciously, there was always this track running. And so I'm a huge fan of QNRT as well. But that's just a suggestion of, I mean, that's a tiny thing. And like, no one needs to balance out like whose trauma is worse and, you know, lost a husband or car accident or house burning down or cancer, all those things. But like everybody still has something and we all are just these emotional, you know, we're just emotional beings having a human experience.
And it's not always kind of the level of trauma where you're saying, well, you know, so, you know, seeing somebody committing suicide, that would be a bigger trauma than dropping the bowl.
Right.
It's not always kind of the level of trauma that tells how ingrained it is in the body or how strongly it impacts the body. And it's same, you know, I do a technique called neural therapy where you inject scars to release traumas that are in the scar and release kind of energy. Sometimes the tiniest little scar can be the one that holds the biggest trauma or holds the biggest whatever that is. So it's important to understand, you know, like you're saying, that even something like dropping a bowl when you're 5 years old, you know, that can become a big deal and it can run a big program, you know, underneath everything. Like now, all of a sudden, you're 5 years old and you're trying to control that everybody's happy in the family. When you don't have control over the family, there's a lot of things that happens that you as a five-year-old have no control over, but you're trying to control the situation that's uncontrollable and make everybody happy. And yeah. And that's yeah, so that's going to impact your health. And then also you will then create a physical manifestation of something that will mirror, you know, that situation, that emotional situation, so that you yourself can see what's going on emotionally, you know, so your physical being becomes like a mirror as to, you know, what you need to look at emotionally. So now you are dealing with a disease that's uncontrollable. I mean, you lose control. So now the body's trying to tell you have something emotionally inside of you that where you feel loss of control that you need to deal with. And when you do that, then we can let go of this physical manifestation, whatever this is.
That's completely nailing it, right? And then when you go to, when I was going to regular MDs that didn't want to address anything as me as a person, but just like, maybe I could just give you a drug. And I don't want to throw all MDs down the, you know, I'm not throwing them all into a position of
there's
that.
There's a time and place for them, I believe.
Oh,
I'm
for
learning
sure
to say that.
There is. For sure there is 100,000,000%, especially if I'm in a car accident and my arm falls off, I want you to sew it back on.
Right.
please, thank you. And yes, all of that. But like, it was interesting because, you know, then when I saw my Lyme literate doctor and it was, he was addressing me as a whole and dealing holistically, like the holistic, I believe it's where we're headed in the world. I believe we're tired. I believe that people are waking up probably more than ever to that we need to look deeper.
Absolutely. And I hope so, because you know, I think that the holistic treatment and naturopath doctors, I mean, I thought Dr. Carlfelt was a little crazy when I met him, but I mean, he's still crazy.
And now she knows.
I thought, yeah, now I know for real.
Yeah, exactly.
Now it's clear.
I mean, he was a little voodoo when he was, you know, introducing me to this muscle testing. And I'm like,
I'm all about it.
You know, and I went through holistic treatment for several years, but I'd never been introduced to muscle testing. And so when I left his office, I called my mom. I'm like, oh, mom, I just got really taken by this doctor. He did all this stuff and I bought all these supplements because I just didn't want to say no. I said, but I got to find another doctor. And I just thought, well, I already spent the money. I may as well take this stuff. And I did. And lo and behold, it was pretty amazing. But I think so many people think that way about doctors that are not the doctor we went to as a little kid. You know, when we're growing up, we are taught that if you get hurt or sick, you go to the doctor and you do whatever this doctor tells you to do. And that's how we were trained. And so it's really hard.
My mom worked for ENT doctors. So I had strep throat every month in the winter, every single dang month, 25 days. I was getting tested again. Strep throat, penicillin, 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 penicillin. Uh-oh, you're allergic to penicillin now. Oh, fun fact. Oh, let's remove your tonsils and adenoids. That's what happened. And so, yeah. And, you know, was my mom doing the best she could with the tools and the knowledge she had? Absolutely, 100%. Were her doctors trying to do the best thing they could for me? Absolutely, 100%. In my opinion, not the best way to do it, but they were doing the best they could with the tools they have and the knowledge they have and the knowledge that they were seeking and the path that they were on. And so, interesting.
Yeah. And that's how it works. I mean, like anytime you do a process and then you evaluate the process and you look at the outcome and see this is the outcome and is that good or bad? And then you go through the process again and you try to improve it. So, you know, now you took penicillin again and again and again, and you got allergic to penicillin. And then obviously there's, you know, all the biotic resistant bacteria and the fungus and candida and all these things have suppressed your immune system, make you more prone than to be impacted by the spirochetes and impacted by all these co-infections and the gut that will then impact how you feel emotionally, how you think, and all these different things. So now,
I'm exhausted. That was a lot.
I just barely touched the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, just talking about the impact. But then you can then go back and see, oh, so we did this, and this is the impact. So how can we do this differently? So it doesn't mean that, yeah, you know, what was done was completely wrong. We just need to look at it a little bit differently, and how can we improve it, and how can we kind of be more effective and less harming when we address these kind of situations like strep throat every moment. Yeah, you know, so
every month.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's the thing with medical doctors is that, you know, I love them. They do a great job. It's just that their standard of care is 30 to 40 years ago. You know, they don't evolve as quickly.
They're sticking with it.
Exactly. Yeah. If it worked, penicillin was our hurrah, and we're going to stick to it. Yeah, we got our antibiotics.
Yeah. And then, you know, with everything. So I went and studied at Institute of Integrative Nutrition, and then I got certified as a nutrition coach through Food Matters because I got so excited about what the body truly can do. Like, if we get out of its dang way. And just so amazing what, you know, what we can do there. And then I started studying, and, you know, I'm a twin, and we were a C-section, so we didn't get any of the good bacteria. And then she couldn't produce as much milk as she needed because we're twins, and she just didn't do very well with that with my other sisters. And so then we were bottle fed. And so then we didn't get breast milk. So, like, none of that's good.
And
that's all bad.
And your mom was put on antibiotic for the C-section.
Yeah.
So you were actually stepped into a mother where, you know, so you get antibiotic like immediately being born. So you don't get the good bacteria from vaginal birth. Instead, you get antibiotic to kill all the good bacteria. So you don't get that benefit.
And
so
then no
you were doomed from the get-go.
No.
Yeah.
How were you still here?
I know, it's amazing. Like, that's how cool the body is, right?
Yes, it truly is
cool
amazing.
Is.
We are designed to heal ourselves. We are. We just have to, like you said, we have to have certain tools in our toolbox to know what to do.
And thank goodness we have doctors like you to help so many people, because if I wouldn't have had that, I actually don't know what I would have done, because I actually didn't know that back then. You know, 10 years ago, I didn't know that. I didn't even kind of know that. I was already on the path of, like, yes, nutrition's important and all of that, but I didn't remotely get that whole gut microbiome. I didn't get any of that. I didn't understand the power of it. I didn't, you know, GMOs, the light was coming out a little bit, maybe. Yeah, back then. But, you know, it's just amazing. But I'm so thankful. I truly, and I mean it, and I'm sure some people are like, that's stupid. But I'm thankful for the journey that I've gone through, because I believe that because I did, I can help so many people. And if I hadn't gone through it, it's really hard. No one can beat a coach helping someone go through something they've gone through. It's not possible,
right?
Because they truly know that, you know, and although Tanya and I, my experience and your experience still are different from each other in Lyme, I'm sure many commonalities though, like I get you.
Right.
And so, I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for anything that I've gone through in my life that was maybe, murky or, work. I mean, when life's easy, it's easy. And I'm very thankful for all those times, by the way. Thank you. And I'll take more. Yes, please. And for anything that I've gone through hard, it's who I've become because of it. And I'm thankful for that.
I am absolutely too. I've learned more than I ever thought I would have, not You know, I say sometimes I could be like a doctor or a pharmacist or a therapist. I'm just not licensed because I've went through so much and had to learn so much that I never thought that I could. And that's why, you know, when we were talking before the show, I was like, I have to not let all that happen in vain. Like, what am I going to do for that? You know, and that's one of the reasons why we do this show, is because I just feel hearing it from somebody who's been there and done that, they can really relate to it, you know, and I just want to help those get better, have hope, you know, and find their why and find the cans that they can do, instead of going down that path that I was on, you know, the suicidal path, because it happens all too much. And we don't want that, but people need the help.
I think it's really cool what you guys are doing.
People need people like us, like yourself, like Dr. Carlfeld. They need us to hear from us and telling them that it's okay and that they will get better.
Right?
They do. Absolutely.
And am I hearing it right, Dr. Carlfeld?
Yes, you're doing great. Yeah, like Carl and it felt something. Carlfeld.
No, I'm never going to ever forget it.
Never forget it now.
Yeah, and if you say it in Swedish, my name is Mikael Carlfeld. Yeah, so that's more. And you're in Minnesota, so I'm sure you hear kind of a lot of that Swedish type of
Swedish accent. And Norwegian.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, so.
For sure. I'm half Danish, so yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, got some good Viking genes. No wonder you're fighting through.
Yeah, right? And I am a Viking fan. So
we're
actually kind of playing okay this year.
You guys are having a good year. Yeah. Yes.
I think you're like 9-2 or something like that. 10-2.
Yeah, 9-2. Yeah. So, we're excited.
So tell me a little bit, kind of, so when people come to you as a coach, I mean, what is the program and what worked for you that you did? I know you have it on your website and I know you told 100 people, but just for people to kind of get a flavor of what it looked like. I mean, you mentioned some essential oils and some, you know, you did the gratitude, you stayed away from food, you were out 20 minutes a day, you know, and outside, rain or snow. Tell me kind of a little bit more what the program looked like as you moved through it. Yeah, and then 9 months, $90,000 later, you're better.
Yeah, 2 years.
I'm sorry.
Two years. But I was getting a lot better actually in a year, but it was 2 years. So yes, it was tons of nutrition. A diet is huge. And I also think when you're cutting out all those things you're eating, you know, whole foods, and with cutting out those GMOs and cutting out sugar, which is the mother of all, oh my goodness, it's not good. And of course we love it. I don't know about you, but man, it's like cocaine for me. But and I've never done cocaine, but I'm thinking it's probably addictive, like they say it is, like sugar. Sugar's a beast. And but by doing that and taking supplements, so it was like multivitamins and omegas, and it was probiotics, and it was glucosamine and grapeseed, and there was just so many nutritional supplements I was taking to support my body to heal. The essential oils, a couple like oregano and thyme. There is a blend called Armor. I'm trying to think of what's all in that. But like on my feed, a couple, I think it was like 3 times a day. I have it on the website. Frankincense for sure was in there. Frankincense and myrrh. Which is interesting because there was this little baby born and the oils were brought to him. And so that's fun. There maybe was something to that anyway. And then getting sleep and the gratitude thing, I think just, and I've been doing that ever since. I think it's why I have success in all areas of my life, because I'm grateful for it, and I'm grateful for it coming, even if I'm already saying I'm thankful for it even before it's here, just like I was saying, I'm healthy and I'm healing, because we draw it to us. I mean, it is the power of the tongue. We reap what we sow. And so, you know, being grateful. So I always tell people, you know, five things at night, just write them down really quick before you go to bed. I do 10, but I say at least just do five things. And, you know, of course they start big, like faith and your family and your spouse and your kids. And then it's your house, and, you know, it's your business and it's your, you know, food and whatever. But then it's like fuzzy socks and like movie nights and like, you know, whatever, warm blankets and the fireplace. And like, because you just, and it's amazing because then you have this whole book of all these things that you're grateful for. And then in the morning, just take, you know, when I wake up, I literally, the first thing I do is I smile. The acronym to that is start my internal love engine. So I smile and my hands are in there. I say a quick little prayer and then I grab my gratitude journal. I say five things that I'm thankful for that are happening, that are coming in the day. And then I just, for literally like a minute, I just look at my gratitude journal and I just turn to a couple pages. It is a beautiful way to start the day. And then I don't remember where I learned that thank you thing, but like literally every step, they said at least for 50 steps, just go thank you. And you can be like, thankful for my strong legs and thankful that my joints move so I can walk and thankful that I have carpet under my feet and I'm thankful that I can turn on the light and I'm thankful that I have running water. And like, and it is crazy how you set your pace to be all positive for the day. Is everything always going to be sunshine and roses? No, I mean, we are here on this earth and that's not promised here. That's heaven. That's not here. But it's amazing how I just see things from a very positive spin. I think I always, maybe I was born with that. I don't know, but I've definitely honed in on it. And I think it's like the secret sauce.
Yeah. I think there was a guest a couple of episodes ago. Yeah.
Who said the same exact thing. They were thankful that their legs were working today so that they could walk and thankful for my hand to be able to, you know, do whatever. So there's definitely something to that.
Yeah. And I think he's saying exactly like you're saying, that is kind of when he was doing that, he think that was the superpower that brought him through.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, to do kind of first thing in the morning and last thing at night, I mean, that's kind of our transition time when our bodies are, so it's kind of like your bookends of the day, and you're moving then into that nighttime or coming out of the nighttime. So you're more, you're open more and your body is more programmable, so to say, you know, so,
yeah.
So to do the gratitude and to do positive things, you know, on the bookends of the day are really important. You know, obviously do it throughout the whole day, but those, like you're doing, you know, you start the day with a smile, you know.
You know, and one other thing that I know that he had me do is Epsom baths. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I don't know if this was your experience, Tanya, but doing Epsom baths and detoxifying the body. And I remember being in the tub and going, like putting my hand up to my nose and going, why do I smell like metal? Like I literally smell like metal. It's a strong metal scent. Like, what is this? Heavy metals, right? And I think with Lyme and our bodies don't detox, and I do have the MTHFR mutation. I actually believe that another key component, so did my Lyme literate doctor, and I talked about that. Probably everybody that struggles with Lyme also has MTHFR, which is interesting. And because we don't detox, the detox pathways are off, right? They're just a little compromised, maybe you want to say. And so I was like, I smelled like metal. It was so weird. And then there was like a one period of time where I would go, what am I wearing? Why do I smell like baby puke? Like, you know, babies like erp up, they throw up or spit up. Like totally smell like spit up, like that sour, that was happening to me too. I was like, my skin smells like baby spit up. Like, what is this? Oh my gosh. I don't know. Tell me, doc, what was that?
Well, I mean, the body is going to, you know, you're doing the Epsom salt. So the Epsom salt is going to start to pull toxins out, you know, through osmosis, because you have, you know, higher gradient than of salts around you than inside your body. So it's going to start to pull these things out and detoxify through the skin. Yeah, so it's a really powerful way of doing what I tell my patients. You do the Epsom salt and really hot water. I mean, as warm as you can take it. So you, because you want to sweat. And then if you want to add a layer to that, then drink a quart of really warm yarrow tea while you're in the bathtub. And that is a strong diaphoretic, so it just make you sweat a lot. And the Epsom salt will help to kind of pull those toxins out as well. And so
a quart of it, a quart of hot tea?
A quart of yarrow tea. That's YARROW.
And but I mean, is it hot, cold? Does it matter?
Hot. No, you want it hot. Yeah. So
yeah, you want it hot.
Yeah.
A quart.
Yeah. A quart. Yeah. While you're in the bathtub. So you lay there and you drink a quart of
you are sweating like a dog.
Exactly. That's the whole idea. And then, but you should only be there for 20 minutes because after 20 minutes, what happens is that the body tries to cool off by bringing circulation to the surface of the skin. And after about 20 minutes, it recognizes it's not happening. Yeah, it's still hot out there. So then it goes and the heat goes and starts to crowd the organs inside. So you do this for 20 minutes and then you get up and you shower off and kind of get rid of the baby puke and the heavy metals.
Yeah. Isn't that just weird?
Yeah.
So weird. But the heavy metals was strong. And it was like 3 weeks straight.
Yeah. I've had that with patients. Yeah. You can taste it, you know, sometimes when you detoxify. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Body's amazing.
Yeah. So the strategy then, you did all these nutritions. I mean, did he do strategy where he was kind of killing the co-infections and, you know, doing kind of going after parasites, going after mold, you know, doing all those things, or was he just kind of building you up?
Well, there was the build up thing, but I forgot about the tinctures too. Oh, what? Banderol and... like cat's claw.
Samoda. So it was the Lee Cowden's protocol, or
I don't know, but these two tinctures, he was like, you're gonna work up to 20 drops a day. I did one. I was like, I am out. Oh, and I took like hydroxychloroquine. I took, there were a couple antibiotics that I also did, and it was, what was it called? Pulsing. So I did the tinctures, then I did the essential oils, then I did the hydroxychloroquine and there was another one, and oh my gosh, that one, that killing up the herxing that was happening. I was like, he was so great, and I texted him, I'm like, I'm gonna die, like and I'm actually super strong. I'm like, there is no way. I did one drop of the tincture, I'm like, seriously, I'm out, like this is like so not funny. He's like, you can do it. You're going to do one drop today. You're going to do two drops tomorrow. You're going to do three. And I'm like, I can't. I'm like, okay. I can't. But it was brutal times a million. It was so bad. So bad. So bad. But it worked.
Well, yeah. You're here talking about it. Yeah. And then when you're in that place, I mean, you want to do whatever it is that you can do to get through it. And be done. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to be.
You know, and I knew I think what, and it's probably what Tanya sees in you too, and what I can see in you in just this short time together. You get this trust with your doctor when you can see that they literally are going to go to bat for you, and they're going to do whatever it takes to help you get well, instead of like a Band-Aid and like, well, let's just give you something for depression and go away, or I'll just keep prescribing that, because then, you know, I can keep prescribing it. That's the difference. And when you find the doctor that you know cares to your core, man, that trust level goes up immensely, and you know they care, and you know that they're going to see you through. And that I'm so blessed that I had him and in my healing journey. And by the way, I don't own Lyme. I think that's a big thing for me. I don't own the title. I don't have Lyme. People will say, once you had Lyme, you always have Lyme. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. I'm like, did you have chicken pox when you were little? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, do you have chicken pox? And they're like, no. And I'm like, same thing.
I love it.
Well, and the thing is, and I love that. I mean, because we all have all these different infectious agents inside of us. I mean, it's just normal. And the whole idea with Lyme, the spirochetes, it's been around for a long time. I mean, it's not just these last 20, 30 years. It's been around for hundreds and thousands of years. And we've coexisted with them. And so they are part of our experience. So we cannot eliminate all the different bacteria and viruses and things that are in our body, because then we wouldn't exist. And it's the same with Lyme. Right. You know, the spirochetes have been part of us for a long period of time. So yeah. It is these additional factors, like you're talking about, the traumas, the different components that then activate them. So that they exist, you know, the spirochetes exist within our body. It's not a big deal. The goal is not to get rid of them. The goal is to coexist harmoniously with all the different different identities, you know, whether viruses, bacteria, fungus, parasites, I mean, all these different things. And they all play a role in regulating our immune system and allowing us to survive and making us brighter and smarter. So, to say that I have Lyme doesn't make any sense, because then I would say, you know, I have herpes, I have, you know, I have parasites, I got all of these things.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everyone could say they have cancer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Because we have those cells. So yeah, it's a really interesting thing. And I won't own a title that doesn't empower me, like, because it's just a thing. Right. And so people have been like, and I'm like, well, that's fine. But for me in this house, like, I don't have Lyme. Like, I don't have it. I went through it. I went through the healing journey of it. I am thankful for that. But I am good and I am healthy and I am strong. And it's, for me, that has been, that's a very good thing.
I love it.
I agree. And I just, I don't know why something is drawing me to just reiterate this again. So maybe there's a listener listening right now that needs to hear this again, because I think that mindset is such a huge thing in this journey. And people are very depressed when they go through Lyme. And they don't feel like they have anything to be thankful for or grateful for. So you talking about the gratitude journal and writing down, you know, every night before you go to bed, five things that you're grateful for. And if you're listening and you don't think it's going to make a difference, what could it hurt to try? Try it and see what happens. It's not going to make you worse. That much I can promise. Because I do. I think it plays such a huge role in our healing.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wow. Well, that was amazing. That was, we touched on so many different topics that
you guys are awesome. I so appreciate what you're doing, because I do believe that those struggling with Lyme and any other autoimmune disorder, or any sickness, right? They just need hope. And what you guys are doing is doing just that. And so that is very, very cool. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for, you know, sharing all your cool energy and, and so where can people find you?
I have LymeTicksUsOff.com, but that's really just where I have that information. I really just dropped it there because I was being overwhelmed. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I love helping people, you know, heal and be healthy and be empowered in life. And I'm working on, coming soon. I've got the URL for youatzona.com. But right now, if they're wanting to reach out to me and find me, Facebook is the best place to do it, or LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, we will make sure that we have your full name in your title to this so that they can go back and search for you, because I think you're doing amazing things.
Well, thank you so much for having me as your guest. I so appreciate it.
Absolutely. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
You as well. Thanks. Information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.